She recalled his memory poem from Dar es Balat, a bit of jetsam the Bene Gesserit preserved. And for what reason do we preserve it? So I can fill my mind with it now, forgetting for the moment what I may confront tomorrow. The fair night of the poet, fill it with innocent stars. A pace apart Orion stands. His glare sees everything, marking our genes forever. Welcome, darkness, and stare, blinded in the afterglow. There's barren eternity. Shiana felt abruptly that she had won a chance to become the ultimate artist, filled to overflowing and presented with a blank surface where she might create as she wished. An unrestricted universe. Odrade's words from those first childhood exposures to Bene Gesserit purpose came back to her. Why did we fasten onto you, Shiana? It's really simple. We recognized in you a thing we had long awaited. You arrived, and we saw it happen.
It. How naive I was.
Something new lifting over the horizon.
My migration will seek the new. But I must find a planet with moons.
Looked at one way, the universe is Brownian movement. Nothing predictable at the elemental level. Moabdib and his tyrant son closed the cloud chamber where movement occurred. Stories from Gamu. Mirbella entered a time of incongruent experiences. It bothered her at first, seeing her own life with multiple vision. Chaotic events at Junction had ignited this, creating a jumble of immediate necessities that would not leave her. Not even when she returned to Chapter House. I warned you, Dar. You can't deny it. I said they could turn victory into defeat. And look at the mess you dumped in my lap. I was lucky to save as many as I did. This inner protest always immersed her in the events that had elevated her to this awful prominence. What else could I have done? Memory displayed Stregi slumping to the floor in bloodless death. The scene had played on the no-ship's relays like a fictional drama. The projection framework in the ship's command bay added to the illusion that this was not really happening. The actors would arise and take their bows. Teg's comb eyes, humming away automatically, missed none of it until someone silenced them. She was left with images, an eerie afterglow. Teg sprawled on the floor of that honored Mater Eri. Odrade staring in shock. Loud protests greeted Mirbella's declaration that she must rush groundside. The proctors were adamant until she laid out the details of Odrade's gamble and demanded, "Do you want total disaster?" Odrade within won that argument. "But you were prepared for it from the first, weren't you, Dar? Your plan." The proctor said, "There's still Shiana." They gave Mirbella a one-man lighter and sent her to Junction alone. Even though she transmitted her honored Mater identity ahead of her, there were touchy moments at the landing flat. A squad of armed honored Maters confronted her as she emerged from the lighter beside a smoking pit. The smoke smelled of exotic explosives. Where Mother Superior's lighter was destroyed, an ancient honored Mater led the squad, her red robe stained, some of its decorations gone, and a rip down the left shoulder. She was like some dried-up lizard, still poisonous, still with a bite, but running on well-used angers, most of her energy gone. Disarrayed hair like the outer skin of a fresh-dug ginger root. There was a demon in her. Mirbella saw it peering from orange-flecked eyes. For all the fact that a full squad backed up the old one, the two of them faced each other as though isolated at the foot of the lighter's drop, wild animals cautiously sniffing, trying to judge the extent of danger. Mirbella watched the old one carefully. This lizard would dart her tongue a bit, testing the air, giving vent to her emotions. But she was sufficiently shocked to listen. "Mirbella is my name. I was taken captive by the Bene Gesserit Angemu. I am an adept of the Hormu."
"Why are you wearing a witch's robes?"
The old one and her squad stood ready to kill. "I have learned everything they had to teach and have brought that treasure to my sisters." The old one studied her a moment.
"Yes, I recognize your type. You're a rock. One we chose for the Gamu project."
The squad behind her relaxed slightly.
"You did not come all the way in that lighter," the old one accused.
"I escaped from one of their no-ships."
"Do you know where their nest is?"
"I do." A wide smile spread on the old one's lips.
"Well, you are a prize. How did you escape?"
"Do you have to ask?" The old one considered this. Mirbella could read the thoughts on her face as though they were spoken. "These ones we brought from Rock, deadly, all of them. They can kill with hands, feet, or any other movable part of their bodies. They all should carry a sign, dangerous in any position." Mirbella moved away from the lighter, displaying the sinewy grace that was a mark of her identity.
"Speed and muscle, sisters, beware."
Some of the squad pressed forward, curious. Their words were full of honored mater comparisons, eager questions Mirbella was forced to parry.
"Did you kill many of them? Where is their planet? Is it rich?
Have you bonded many males there?
You were trained on Gamu?"
"I was on Gamu for the third stage, under Haka."
"Haka! I've met her.
Did she have that injured left foot when you knew her?" "Still testing."
"It was the right foot, and I was with her when she took the injury." "Oh, yes, the right foot. I remember now. How was she injured?"
"Kicking a lout in the rear. He had a sharp knife in his hip pocket. Haka was so angry she killed him." Laughter swept through the squad.
"We will go to great honored mater," the old one said.
"So I've passed first inspection. Mirbella sensed reservations, though. Why is this Hormu adept wearing those enemy robes? And she has a strange look to her. Best face that one at once."
"I took their training and they accepted me." "The fools, did they really?"
"You question my word?" How easy it was to revert, adopting touchy, honored mater ways. The old one bristled. She did not lose hauteur, but she sent a warning look to her squad. All of them took a moment to digest what Mirbella had said.
"You became one of them?" someone behind her asked.
"How else could I steal their knowledge?
Know this. I was the personal student of their mother superior."
"Did she teach you well?"
That same challenging voice from behind. Mirbella identified the questioner. Middle echelon and ambitious. Anxious for notice and advancement.
"This is the end of you, anxious one. And little loss to the universe." A Bene Gesserit feint drifted the feather that was her foe into range. One Hormu-style kick for them to recognize. The questioner lay dead on the ground.
"Marriage of Bene Gesserit and honored mater abilities creates a danger you should all recognize and envy."
"She taught me admirably," Mirbella said.
"Any other questions?"
The old one said. "How are you called?" Mirbella demanded.
"I am a senior dame, honored mater of the Hormu. I am called Elpec."
"Thank you, Elpec. You may call me Mirbella."
I am honored, Mirbella. It is indeed a treasure you have brought us. Mirbella studied her a moment with Bene Gesserit watchfulness before smiling without humor. The exchange of names. You and your red robe that marks you as one of the powerful surrounding great honored mater. Do you know what you have just accepted into your circle? The squad remained shocked and looked at Mirbella with wariness. She saw this with her new sensitivity. The old girl network had never gained a foothold in the Bene Gesserit, but it performed for honored maters. Simulflow amused her with a parade of confirmation. How subtle the power transfers. Right school, right friends, graduation and transfer onto the first rungs of the ladder. All guided by relatives and their connections. Mutual backscratching that managed alliances, including marriages. Simulflow told her it led into the pit, but ones on the ladder, the ones in controlling niches, never let that worry them. Today is sufficient unto today, and that is how Elpec sees me. But she does not see what I have become, only that I am dangerous, but potentially useful. Turning slowly on one foot, Mirbella studied Elpec's squad. No bonded males here. This was too sensitive a duty for any but trusted women. Good. Now you will listen to me, all of you. If you have any loyalty to our sisterhood, which I will judge on future performance, you will honor what I have brought. I intend it as a gift for those who deserve it. Great honored mater will be pleased, Elpec said. But great honored mater did not appear pleased when Mirbella was presented. Mirbella recognized the tower setting. Almost sunset now, but Stregi's body still lay where it had fallen. Some of Teg's specialists had been killed, mostly the Komai crew, who doubled as his guard. No, we honored maters do not like others spying on us. Teg still lived, she saw, but he was swathed in shigawire and shoved disdainfully into a corner. Most surprising of all, Odred stood unfettered near great honored mater. It was a gesture of contempt. Mirbella felt she had lived through such a scene many times. Aftermath of honored mater victory. Swathes of their enemies' bodies left where they had been brought down. Honored mater attack with the bloodless weapon had been swift and deadly. A typical viciousness that killed when killing no longer was required. She suppressed a shudder at the memory of this deadly reversal. There had been no warning, only the troops dropping in wide lines. A domino effect that left the survivors in shock. And great honored mater obviously enjoyed the shock. Looking at Mirbella, great honored mater said, "So this is the bag of insolence you say you trained in your ways." Odred almost smiled at the description. Bag of insolence? A Bene Gesserit would accept it without rancor. This roomy-eyed, great-honored mater faced a quandary, and could not call on her weapon that killed without blood. Very delicate balance of power. Agitated conversations among honored maters had revealed their problem. All of their secret weapons had been exhausted, and could not be reloaded, something they had lost when driven back here. Our weapon of last resort, and we wasted it. Logno, who thought herself supreme, stood in a different arena now, and she had just learned of the fearful ease with which Mirbella could kill one of the elect. Mirbella cast a measuring gaze over great honored mater's entourage, gauging their potentials. They recognized the situation, of course. Familiar. How did they vote? Neutral. Some were wary, and all were waiting. Anticipating a diversion. No concern over who triumphed, as long as power continued to flow in their direction. Mirbella let her muscles flow into the waiting stance of combat she had learned from Duncan and the Proctors. She felt as cool as though standing on the practice floor, running through responses. Even as she reacted, she knew she moved in ways for which Odred had prepared her, mentally, physically, and emotionally. Voice first. Give them a taste of inner chill. I see you have assessed the Bene Gesserit quite poorly. The arguments of which you are so proud, these women have heard them so many times, your words go beyond boredom. This was delivered with scathing vocal control, a tone that brought orange to Lorgno's eyes, but held her motionless. Mirbella was not through with her. You consider yourself powerful and clever. One begets the other, eh? What idiocy! You're a consummate liar, and you lie to yourself. As Lorgno remained motionless in the face of this attack, those around her began moving away, opening space that said, "She is all yours." "Your fluency in these lies does not hide them," Mirbella said. She swept a scornful gaze across the ones behind Lorgno. "Like the ones I know in other memory, you are headed for extinction. The problem is that you take so infernally long dying. Inevitable. But oh, the boredom meanwhile. You dare call yourself great honored mater?" Returning her attention to Lorgno. "Everything about you is a cesspool. You have no style." It was too much. Lorgno attacked, left foot slashing outward with blinding speed. Mirbella grasped the foot as she would catch a windblown leaf, and, continuing the flow of it, levered Lorgno into a threshing club that ended with her head pulped on the floor. Without pausing, Mirbella pirouetted, left foot almost decapitating the honored mater, who had stood at Lorgno's right, the right hand crushing the throat of the one who had stood at Lorgno's left. It was over in two heartbeats. Examining the scene without breathing hard, to show how easy it was, sisters, Mirbella experienced a sense of shock and recognition of the inevitable. Odred lay on the floor in front of Elpek, who obviously had chosen sides without hesitation. The twisted position of Odred's neck and flaccid appearance of her body said she was dead. "She tried to interfere," Elpek said. Having killed a reverend mother, Elpek expected Mirbella, a sister after all, to applaud. But Mirbella did not react as expected. She knelt beside Odred and put her head against that of the corpse, staying there an interminable time. The surviving honored maters exchanged questioning looks but dared not move. "What is this?" But they were mobilized by Mirbella's terrifying abilities. When she had Odred's recent past, all of the new added to previous sharing, Mirbella stood. Elpek saw death in Mirbella's eyes and took one backward step before trying to defend herself. Elpek was dangerous, but no match for this demon in the black robe. It was over with the same shocking abruptness that had taken Lorgno and her aides, a kick to the larynx. Elpek sprawled across Odred. Once more, Mirbella studied the survivors, then stood a moment looking down at Odred's body. "In a way, that was my doing, Dar, and yours." She shook her head from side to side, absorbing consequences. "Odred is dead. Long live Mother Superior. Long live great honored Mater. And may the heavens protect us all." She gave her attention then to what must be done. These deaths had created an enormous debt. Mirbella took a deep breath. This was another Gordian knot. "Release Teg," she said. "Clean up in here as quickly as possible. And somebody get me a proper robe." It was a great honored mater giving orders, but those who leaped to obey sensed the other in her. The one who brought her a red robe, elaborate with Sue-stone dragons, held it deferentially from a distance. Large woman with heavy bones and square face, cruel eyes. "Hold it for me," Mirbella said, and when the woman tried to take advantage of proximity to attack her, Mirbella dumped the woman hard. "Try again." This time there were no tricks. "You are the first member of my council," Mirbella said. "Name?" "Angelica, great honored Mater. See, I was first to call you by your proper title. Reward me." "Your reward is that I promote you and let you live." Proper honored Mater response. Accepted as such. When Teg came to her, rubbing his arms where the Shigawire had bitten deep, some honored Maters tried to caution Mirbella. "Do you know what this one can?" "He serves me now," Mirbella interrupted. Then in Odraid's mocking tones, "Isn't that right, Miles?" He gave her a rueful smile, an old man on a child's face. "Interesting times, Mirbella." "Dar liked apples," Mirbella said. "See to that." He nodded. Return her to a cemetery orchard. Not that prized Bene Gesserit orchards would endure long in a desert. Still, some traditions were worth perpetuating while you could. What do holy accidents teach? Be resilient. Be strong. Be ready for change, for the new. Gather many experiences and judge them by the steadfast nature of our faith. Tlilazu Doctrine. Well within Teg's original timetable, Mirbella picked her honored Mater entourage and returned to a chapter house. She expected certain problems, and the messages she sent ahead paved the way for solutions. I bring futars to attract handlers. Honored Maters fear a biological weapon from the scattering that made vegetables of them. Handlers may be the source. Prepare to keep Rabbi and party in no-ship. Honor their secrecy. And remove the protective mines from the ship. That went in keeping of a proctor message. She was tempted to ask for her children, but that was non-Bene Gesserit. Someday, maybe. Immediately on returning, she had Duncan to accommodate, and this confused honored Maters. They were as bad as the Bene Gesserit. What's so special about one man? No longer a reason for him to remain in the ship, but he refused to leave. I've a mental mosaic to assemble, a piece that cannot be moved, extraordinary behavior, and willing participation in their dream. I must find limits to test. That's missing. I know how to find it. Get in tune. Don't think. Do it. It made no sense. She humored him, although he was changed. A stability to this new Duncan that she accepted as a challenge. By what right did he assume a self-satisfied air? No, not self-satisfied. It was more being at peace with a decision. He refused to share it. I've accepted things. You must do the same. She had to admit this described what she was doing. On her first morning back, she arose at dawn and entered the workroom. Wearing the red robe, she sat in Mother Superior's chair and summoned Belanda. Belle stood at one end of the work table. She knew. The design became clear in execution. Odraid had imposed a debt on her as well. Thus the silence, assessing how she must pay. Service to this Mother Superior, Belle. That is how you pay. No archival declension of these events will put them into proper perspective. Action is required. Belanda spoke finally. The only crisis I'd care to compare with this one is the advent of the tyrant. Mirbella reacted sharply. Hold your tongue, Belle. Unless you've something useful to say. Belanda took the reprimand calmly. Uncharacteristic response. Dar had changes in mind. This what she expected?
Mirbella softened her tone.
We'll rehash ancient history later. This is an opening chapter.
Bad news.
That was the old Belanda. Mirbella said, admit the first group. Be cautious. They are great honored Mater's high council.
Bell left to obey. She knows I have every right to this position. They all know it. No need for a vote. No room for a vote.
Now was the time for the historical art of politics she had learned from Odraid. In all things, you must appear important. No minor decisions pass through your hands unless they are quiet acts called favors, done for people whose loyalty can be earned. Every reward came from on high. Not a good policy with the Bene Gesserit, but this group entering the workroom, they were familiar with a patroness, great honored Mater. They would accept new political necessities, temporarily. It was always temporary, especially with honored Maters. Bell and Watchdogs knew she would be a long time sorting this out, even with amplified Bene Gesserit abilities. It would require extremely demanding attention from all of them. And the first thing was the sharply discerning gaze of innocence. That is what honored Maters lost. And we must restore it before they can fade into the background where we belong. Belanda ushered in the council and retired silently. Mirbella waited until they were seated. A mixed lot. Some aspirants to supreme power. Angelica there smiling so prettily. Some waiting, not even daring to hope yet, but gathering what they could. Our sisterhood was acting with stupidity, Mirbella accused. She noted the ones who took this angrily. You would have killed the goose. They did not understand. She dredged up the parable. They listened with proper attention, even when she added, don't you realize how desperately we need every one of these witches? We outnumber them so greatly that each of them will carry an enormous teaching burden. They considered this, and bitter though it was, they were forced to a qualified acceptance because she said it. Mirbella hammered it home. Not only am I your great honored Mater, does anyone question that? No one questioned. But I am Bene Gesserit Mother Superior. They can do little else but confirm me in office. Two of them started to protest, but Mirbella cut them short. No! You would be powerless to enforce your will on them. You would have to kill them all. But they will obey me. The two continued to babble, and she shouted them down. Compared to me with what I acquired from them, the lot of you are miserable weaklings. Do any of you challenge that? No one challenged, but Orange Flecks were there.
You are children with no knowledge of what you might become, she said. Would you return defenseless to face the ones of many faces? Would you become vegetables?
That caught their interest. They were accustomed to this tone from older commanders. The content held them now. It was difficult to accept from one so young. Still, the thing she had done. And to Logno and her aides. Mirbella saw them admire the bait. Fertilization. This group will carry it away with them. Hybrid vigor. We are fertilized to grow stronger and flower. And go to seed. Best not dwell on that. Honored Maters will not see it until they are almost reverend mothers. Then they will look back angrily as I did. How could we have been that stupid? She saw submission take shape in Counselor's eyes. There would be a honeymoon. Honored Maters would be children of candy store. Only gradually would the inevitable grow plain to them. Then they would be trapped. As I was trapped. Don't ask the oracle what you can gain. That's the trap. Beware the real fortune teller. Would you like 3,500 years of boredom?
Odraid within objected. Give the tyrant some credit. It couldn't all have been boredom. More like a guild navigator picking his passage through fold space, golden path. And Atreides paid for your survival, Mirbella. Mirbella felt burdened, the tyrant's payment dumped on her shoulders. I didn't ask him to do it for me. Odraid could not let that pass. He did it nonetheless. Sorry, Dar. He paid. Now I must pay. So you are a Reverend Mother at last. The counselors had grown restive under her stare. Angelica elected to speak for them. After all, I am first chosen. Watch that one. A blaze of ambition in her eyes. What response are you asking us to take with these witches? Alarmed by her own boldness. Was not great honored Mater also a witch now? Mirbella spoke softly. You will tolerate them, and offer them no violence whatsoever. Angelica was emboldened by Mirbella's mild tone. Is that the great honored Mater's decision, or the... Enough! I could bloody the floor of this room with a lot of you. Do you wish to test it? They did not wish to test it. And what if I say to you that it is Mother Superior speaking? You will ask, do I have a policy to meet our problem? I will say, policy? Ah, yes. I have a policy for unimportant things, such as insect infestations. Unimportant things call for policies. For such of you as do not see the wisdom in my decision, I need no policy. Your kind I dispose of quickly. Dead before you know you've been injured. That is my response to the presence of filth. Is there any filth in this room? It was language they recognized. The lash of the great honored Mater backed by ability to kill. You are my counsel, Mirbella said. I expect wisdom from you. The least you can do is pretend you are wise. Humorous sympathy from Odraid. If that's the way honored Maters give and take orders, it won't require much deep analysis by Bell. Mirbella's thoughts went elsewhere. I am no longer honored Mater. The step from one to another was so recent, she found her honored Mater performance uncomfortable. Her adjustments were a metaphor of what would happen to her former sisters. A new role, and she did not wear it well. Other memories simulated long association with herself as this new person. This was no mystical transubstantiation, merely new abilities. Merely. The change was profound. Did Duncan realize this? It pained her that he might never see through to this new person. Is that the residue of my love for him? Mirbella drew back from her questions, not wanting an answer. She felt repelled by something that went deeper than she cared to burrow. There will be decisions I must make that love would prevent. Decisions for the sisterhood and not for myself. That is where my fear is pointing. Immediate necessities restored her. She sent her counselors away, promising pain and death if they failed to learn this new restraint. Next, Reverend Mothers must be taught a new diplomacy. Getting along with no one. Not even with each other. It would grow easier in time. Honored Maters slipping into Bene Gesserit ways. One day there would be no honored Maters, only Reverend Mothers with improved reflexes and augmented knowledge of sexuality. Mirbella felt haunted by words she had heard but not accepted until this moment. The things we will do for Bene Gesserit's survival have no limits. Duncan will see this. I cannot keep it from him. The Mentat will not hold to a fixed idea of what I was before the agony. He opens his mind as I open a door. He will examine his net. What have I caught this time? Was this what happened to Lady Jessica? Other memory carried Jessica threaded into the warp and woof of Sherings. Mirbella unraveled a bit and paraded elder knowledge. heretic Lady Jessica? Malfeasance in office? Jessica had plunged into love as Odred had plunged into the sea, and the resultant waves had all but engulfed the sisterhood. Mirabella sensed this taking her where she did not want to go. Pain clutched her chest.
Duncan, oh, Duncan.
She dropped her face into her hands.
Dar, help me. What am I to do?
Never ask why you're a reverend mother.
I must. The progression is clear in my memory, and
that's a sequence. Thinking of it as cause and effect beguiles you away from totality.
Dao?
Simpler. You are here.
But other memory goes back and back, and
imagine its pyramids, interlocked.
Those are just words.
Is your body still functioning?
I hurt, Dar. You don't have a body anymore. And it's useless to...
We occupy different niches. The pains I felt are not your pains. My joys are not yours.
I don't want your sympathy. Oh, Dar. Why was I born?
Were you born to lose Duncan?
Dar, please.
So you were born, and now you know that's never enough. So you became an honored mater. What else could you do? Still not enough? Now you're a reverend mother. You think that's enough? It's never enough, as long as you're alive.
You're telling me I must always reach beyond myself.
Ha! You don't make decisions on that basis. Didn't you hear him?
Don't think, do it.
Will you choose the easy way?
Why should you feel sad because you've encountered the inevitable?
If that's all you can see, confine yourself to improving the breed.
Damn you! Why did you do this to me?
Do what?
Make me see myself and my former sisters this way?
What way?
Damn you! You know what I mean!
Former sisters, you say?
Oh, you are insidious.
All reverend mothers are insidious.
You never stop teaching.
Is that what I do?
How innocent I was.
Asking you what you really do. You know as well as I do. We wait for humankind to mature. The tyrant only provided them time to grow, but now they need care.
What's the tyrant have to do with my pain?
You foolish woman. Did you fail the agony?
You know I didn't.
Stop stumbling over the obvious.
Oh, you bitch.
I prefer witch. Either is preferable to whore.
The only difference between Bene Gesserit and Honored Mater is the marketplace. You married our sisterhood.
Our sisterhood?
You bred for power. How is that different from...
Don't twist it, Mirabella. Keep your eyes on survival.
Don't tell me you had no power.
Temporary authority over people intent on survival.
Survival again!
In a sisterhood that promotes the survival of others. Like the married woman who bears children.
So it comes down to procreation.
That's a decision you make for yourself. Family, and what binds it. What tickles life and happiness? Mirabella began to laugh. She dropped her hands and opened her eyes to find Valanda standing there watching.
That's always a temptation for a new reverend mother, Valanda said. Chat a bit with other memory. Who was it this time? Dar?
Mirabella nodded.
Don't trust anything they give you. It's lore, and you judge it for yourself.
Odred's words exactly. Look through the eyes of the dead at scenes long gone. What a peep show.
You can get lost in there for hours, Valanda said. Exercise restraint. Be sure of your ground. One hand for yourself and one for the ship.
There it was again. The past applied to the present.
How rich are the memory made everyday life. It'll pass, Valanda said. It gets to be old hat after a time.
She laid a report in front of Mirabella.
Old hat?
One hand for yourself and one for the ship. So much just in idioms.
Mirabella leaned back in the sling chair to scan Valanda's report.
fancying herself suddenly in Odraid's idiom. Spider queen in the center of my web. The web might be a bit frayed just now, but it was still there, catching things to be digested. To which a tringer strand and bell came running, mandibles flexing in anticipation. The twitch words were archives and analysis. Seeing Belanda in this light, Mirbella saw the wisdom in the ways Odraid had employed her, flaws as valuable as the strengths. When Mirbella finished the report, Belanda stood there in characteristic attitude. Mirbella recognized that Belanda looked on all who summoned her as ones who had not measured up, people who called on archives for frivolous reasons and had to be set straight. Frivolity, Belanda's bete noire. Mirbella found this amusing. Mirbella kept amusement masked while enjoying Belanda. The way to deal with her was to be scrupulous, nothing to subtract from strengths. This report was a model of concise and pertinent argument. She made her points with few embellishments, just enough to reveal her own conclusions. "Does it amuse you to summon me?" Belanda asked. She's sharper than she was. Did I summon her? Not in so many words, but she knows when she's needed. She says here our sisters must be models of meekness. Mother Superior may be anything she needs to be, but not so the rest of the sisterhood. Mirbella touched the report. A starting point. Then we should start before your friends find the Komai Center. Belanda sank into her chair dog with familiar confidence. Tam's gone, but I could send for Shiana.
Where is she?
At the ship, studying a collection of worms in the Great Hold. Says any of us can be taught to control them.
Valuable if true. Leave her. What of Saitali?
Still in the ship. Your friends haven't found him yet. We're keeping him under wraps.
Let's continue that. He's a good reserve bargaining chip.
And they're not my friends, Belle.
How are the rabbi and his party?
Comfortable, but worried.
They know honored maters are here. Keep them under wraps.
It's uncanny. A different voice, but I hear Dar.
An echo in your head.
Belanda actually laughed. Now here's what you must spread among the sisters. We act with extreme delicacy while showing ourselves as people to admire and emulate. You honored maters may not choose to live as we live, but you can learn our strengths. It comes down to ownership. Honored maters are owned by things. I want that place, that bauble, that person. Take what you want. Use it until you tire of it. While we go along our path, admiring what we see. And there's our flaw. We don't give ourselves easily. Fear of love and affection. To be self-possessed has its own greed. See what I have? You can't have it unless you follow my ways. Never take that attitude with honored maters. Are you telling me we have to love them?
How else can we make them admire us?
That was Jessica's victory. When she gave it all. So much bottled up by our ways, and then that overwhelming wash. Everything given. It's irresistible. We don't compromise that easily.
No more do honored maters.
That's the way of their bureaucratic origins.
Yet theirs is a training ground for following the path of least resistance.
You're confusing me, Mirbella.
Have I said we should compromise? Compromise weakens us. And we know there are problems compromise cannot solve. Decisions we must make, no matter how bitter.
Pretend to love them.
That's a beginning.
It'll be a bloody union, this joining of Bene Gesserit and honored Mater.
I suggest we share as widely as possible. We may lose people while honored Maters are learning.
A marriage made on the battlefield.
Mirbella stood thinking of Duncan in the no-ship, remembering the ship as she had seen it last. There it was finally, not hidden to any sense. A lump of strange machinery, oddly grotesque. A wild conglomeration of protrusions and juttings with no apparent purpose. Hard to imagine the thing lifting on its own power, enormous as that was, and vanishing into space. Vanishing into space. She saw the shape of Duncan's mental mosaic. A piece that cannot be moved. Get in tune. Don't think. Do it. With an abruptness that chilled her, she knew his decision. When you think to take determination of your fate into your own hands, that is the moment you can be crushed. Be cautious. Allow for surprises. When we create, there are always other forces at work. Darwy Odrade. Move with extreme care, Shiana had warned him. Idaho did not think he needed warning, but appreciated it nonetheless. Presence of honored maters on Chapter House eased his task. They made the ship's proctors and other guards nervous. Mirbella's orders kept her former sisters out of the ship, but everyone knew the enemy was here. Scanner relays showed a seemingly endless stream of lighters disgorging honored maters on the flat. Most of the new arrivals appeared curious about that monstrous no-ship sitting there, but no one disobeyed great honored mater. Not while she's alive, Idaho muttered where proctors could hear him. They have a tradition of assassinating their leaders to replace them. How long can Mirbella hold out? Cummeyes did his work for him. He knew his muttering would spread through the ship. Shiana came to him in his workroom shortly afterward and made a show of disapproval. What are you trying to do, Duncan? You're upsetting people. Go back to your worms. Duncan! Mirbella's playing a dangerous game. She's all that stands between us and disaster. He already had voiced this worry to Mirbella. It was not new to the Watchers, but reinforcement made everyone who heard him edgy. Helmi monitors and archives, ship guards, everyone. Except honored maters. Mirbella was keeping them out of Belanda's archives. Time for that later, she said. Shiana had her cue. Duncan, either stop feeding our worries or tell us what we should do. You're a mentat. Function for us. Ah, the great mentat performs for all to see. What you should do is obvious, but it's not up to me. I can't leave Mirbella. But I can be taken away. Now it was up to Shiana. She left him and went to spread her own brand of change. We have the scattering for our example. By evening, she had the Reverend Mothers in the ship neutralized and gave him a hand signal that they could take the next step. They will follow my lead. Without intending it, the Missionaria had set the stage for Shiana's ascendancy. Most sisters knew the power latent in her. Dangerous, but it was there. Unused power was like a marionette with visible strings, nobody holding them. A compelling attraction. I could make it dance. Feeding the deception, he called Mirbella. When will I see you? Duncan, please. Even in projection, she looked harried. I'm busy. You know the pressures. I'll be out in a few days. Projection showed honored maters in the background scowling at this odd behavior in their leader. Any Reverend Mother could read their faces. Has great honored mater gone soft? That's nothing but a man out there. When he broke off, Idaho emphasized what every monitor on the ship had seen. She's in danger. Doesn't she know it? And now, Shiana, it's up to you. Shiana had the key to reinstate the ship's flight controls. The mines were gone. No one could destroy the ship at the last instant with a signal to hidden explosives. There was only the human cargo to consider, Tague especially. Tague will see my choices. The others, the rabbi's party and Saitali, will have to take their chances with us. The futars in their security cells did not worry him. Interesting animals, but not significant at the moment. For that matter, he gave only a passing thought to Saitali. The little Thilazu remained under the eyes of guards who were not relaxing their watch on him, no matter their other worries. He went to bed with a nervousness that had ready explanation for any watchdog in archives. His precious Mirbella is in peril. And she was in peril, but he could not protect her. My very presence is a danger to her now. He was up at dawn, back to the armory, dismantling a weapons factory. Gianna found him there, and asked him to rejoin her in the guard section. A handful of proctors greeted them. The leader they had chosen did not surprise him. Garimi. He had heard about her performance at the convocation. Suspicious. Worried. Ready to make her own gamble. She was a sober-faced woman. Some said she seldom smiled. "We have diverted the Komais in this room," Garimi said. "They show us having a snack and questioning you about weapons." Idaho felt a knot in his stomach. Bell's people would spot a simulation quickly, especially a projected mock-up of himself. Garimi responded to his frown. "We have allies in archives." Gianna said, "We are here to ask if you wish to leave before we escape in this ship." His surprise was genuine. "Stay behind?" He had not considered it. Mirbella was no longer his. The bond had been broken in her. She did not accept it, not yet. But she would the first time she was asked to make a decision putting him in danger for Bene Gesserit purposes. Now she merely stayed away from him more than was necessary. "You're going to scatter?" he asked, looking at Garimi. "We'll save what we can. Voting with our feet, it was called once. Mirbella subverting the Bene Gesserit. There was the unspoken argument he had trusted to win them. Disagreement over Odraid's gamble." Idaho took a deep breath. "I will go with you." "No regrets," Garimi warned. "That's stupid," he said, venting his repressed grief. Garimi would not have been surprised by that response from a sister. Idaho shocked her, and she was several seconds recovering. Honesty compelled her. "Of course it's stupid. I'm sorry." "You're sure you won't stay? We owe you the chance to make your own decision." Bene Gesserit fastidiousness with those who serve them loyally. "I'll join you." The grief they saw on his face was not simulated. He wore it openly when he returned to his console. "My assigned position." He did not try to hide his actions when he coded for the ship's ID circuits. Allies in archives. The circuits came flashing up on his projections, colored ribbons with a broken link into flight systems. The way around that breakage was visible after only a few moments' study. Mentat observations had been prepared for it. Multiples through the core. Idaho sat back and waited. Liftoff was a skull-rattling moment of blankness that stopped abruptly when they were far enough clear of the surface to engage null fields and enter fold space. Idaho watched his projection. There they were, the old couple in their garden setting. He saw the net shimmering in front of them, the man gesturing at it, smiling in round-faced satisfaction. They moved in a transparent overlay that revealed ship circuits behind them. The net grew larger. Not lines, but ribbons thicker than the projected circuits. The man's lips shaped words, but there was no sound. "We expected you." Idaho's hands went to his console, fingers splayed in the comm field to grasp required elements of the circuit control. No time for niceties. Gross disruption. He was into the core within a second. From there, it was a simple matter to dump entire segments. Navigation went first. He saw the net begin to thin, the look of surprise on the man's face. Null fields were next. Idaho felt the ship lurching in fold space. The net tipped, becoming elongated with the two watchers foreshortened and thinned. Idaho wiped out star memory circuits, taking his own data with them. Net and watchers vanished. How did I know they would be there? He had no answer except a certainty rooted in the repeated visions. Gianna did not look up when he found her at the temporary flight control board in the guard quarters. She was bent over the board, staring at it in consternation. The projection above her showed they had emerged from fold space. Idaho recognized none of the visible star patterns, but he had expected that. Shiana swiveled and looked at Garimi standing over her. "We've lost all data storage." Idaho tapped his temple with a forefinger. "No, we haven't." "But it'll take years to recover even the essentials," Shiana protested. "What happened?" "We're an unidentifiable ship in an unidentifiable universe," Idaho said. "Isn't that what we wanted?" "There's no secret to balance. You just have to feel the waves, Darwi Odred." Mirbella felt that an age had passed since she recognized Duncan's decision. "Vanish into space. Leave me." The unvarying time sense of the agony told her only seconds had elapsed since awareness of his intentions, but she felt she had known this from the first. He must be stopped. She was reaching for her comm board when Central began to shudder. The quaking continued for an interminable time and subsided slowly. Melanda was on her feet.
"What?"
"The no-ship at the flat has just lifted," Mirbella said. Melanda reached for the comm board, but Mirbella stopped her. "It's gone. She must not see my pain."
"But who..."
Melanda fell silent. She had her own assessments of consequences, and saw then what Mirbella saw. Mirbella sighed. She had all of the curses of history at her disposal, and wanted none of them. "At lunchtime, I will eat in my private dining room with counselors, and I want you present," Mirbella said. "Tell Duana oyster stew again." Belanda started to protest, but all that came out was... "Again?" "You will recall I ate alone downstairs last night," Mirbella resumed her seat. "Mother Superior has duties." There were maps to change and rivers to follow, and honored maters to domesticate. "Some waves throw you, Mirbella, but you get back up and go on with it. 7 times down, 8 times up. You can balance on strange surfaces."
"I know, Dar.
Willing participation in your dream." Belanda stared at her until Mirbella said, "I made my counselors sit at a distance from me at dinner last night. It was strange. Only the 2 tables in the whole dining room. Why do I continue this inane chatter? What excuses do I have for my extraordinary behavior?" "We wondered why none of us were permitted in our own dining room," Belanda said. "To save your lives. But you should have seen their interest. I read their lips. Angelica said, 'She's eating some kind of stew. I heard her discussing it with the chef. Isn't this a marvelous world we've acquired? We must sample that stew she ordered.'"
"Samples," Belanda said.
"I see. Then, you know, don't you, Shiana took the Van Gogh painting from your sleeping chamber."
"Why does that hurt?"
"I noticed it was missing. Said she was borrowing it for her room in the ship." Mirbella's lips went thin.
"Damn them. Duncan and Shiana. Teg, Saitali. All of them gone and no way to follow.
But we still have axolotl tanks and Idaho cells from our children. Not the same, but close. He thinks he's escaped." "Are you all right, Mirbella?" Concern in Bell's voice. "You warned me about wild things, Dar, and I didn't listen." "After we've eaten, I will take my counselors on an inspection tour of Central. Tell my acolyte I want cider before retiring." Belanda left, muttering. That was more like her. "How do you guide me now, Dar?"
"You want guidance?
A guided tour of your life? Is that why I died?"
"But they took the Van Gogh, too."
"Is that what you'll miss?" Why did they take it, Dar? Caustic laughter greeted this, and Mirbella was glad no one else heard.
Can't you see what she intends?
The Missionaria scheme.
Oh, more than that. It's the next phase.
Moabdib, to Tyrant, to Honored Maters, to us, to Shiana.
To what? Can't you see it?
The thing is right there, the lip of your thoughts.
Accept it as you would swallow a bitter drink.
Mirbella shuddered.
See it?
The bitter medicine of a Shiana future. We once thought all medicines had to be bitter, or they were not effective. No healing power in the sweet.
Must it happen, Dar?
Some will choke on that medicine, but the survivors may create interesting patterns. Paired opposites define your longings, and those longings imprison you. The Zensuni whip.
You deliberately let them get away, Daniel.
The old woman rubbed her hands down the stained front of her garden apron. It was a summer morning around her, flowers blooming, birds calling from nearby trees. There was a misty look to the sky, a yellow radiance near the horizon.
Now, Marty, it was not deliberate, Daniel said.
He took off his pork pie hat and rubbed the bushy stubble of gray hair before replacing the hat.
He surprised me. I knew he saw us, but I didn't suspect he saw the net.
And I had such a nice planet picked out for them, Marty said. One of the best. A real test of their abilities.
No use moaning about it, Daniel said. They're where we can't touch them now.
He was spread so thin, though. I expected to catch him easy.
They had a Tlilazu master, too, Marty said. I saw him when they went under the net. I would have so liked to study another master.
Don't see why. Always whistling at us. Always making it necessary to stomp them down. I don't like treating masters that way, and you know it. If it weren't for them...
They're not gods, Daniel.
Neither are we.
I still think you let them escape. You're so anxious to prune your roses.
What would you have said to the master anyway? Daniel asked.
I was going to joke when he asked who we were. They always ask that. I was going to say, what did you expect, God himself with a flowing beard?
Daniel chuckled.
That would have been funny. They have such a hard time accepting that face dancers can be independent of them.
I don't see why. It's a natural consequence. They gave us the power to absorb the memories and experiences of other people.
Gather enough of those, and
it's personas we take, Marty.
Whatever.
The master should have known we would gather enough of them one day to make our own decisions about our own future.
And theirs.
Oh, I'd have apologized to him after putting him in his place. You can do just so much managing of others. Isn't that right, Daniel?
When you get that look on your face, Marty, I'd go prune my roses.
He went back to a line of bushes with verdant leaves and black blooms as large as his head. Marty called after him.
Gather up enough people, and you get a big ball of knowledge, Daniel. That's what I'd have told him. And those Bene Gesserit in that ship, I'd have told them how many of them I have. Ever notice how alienated they feel when we peek at them?
Daniel bent to his black roses. She stared after him, hands on her hips.
Not to mention Mentats, he said. There were two of them on that ship, both Golas. You want to play with them?
The masters always try to control them, too, she said.
That master is going to have trouble if he tries to mess with that big one, Daniel said, snipping off a ground shoot from the rootstock of his roses.
My, this is a pretty one.
Mentats, too, Marty called.
I'd have told them. Dime a dozen they are. Dimes? I don't think they'd have understood that, Marty. The Reverend Mother's, yes, but not that big Mentat. He didn't thin out that far back. You know what you let get away, Daniel? She demanded, coming up beside him. That master had a null entropy tube in his chest, full of Gola cells, too. I saw it. That's why you let them get away. Didn't let them. His pruning shears went snick-snick. Golas. He's welcome to them.